Welcome to the Sega Guys podcast. Despite what you may have seen on the Radio Sega Discord, I'm not Andrew Dickinson, but I'm Dan the Mega Driver. And I don't do this alone. No, sir. I am joined by my ever-present Sega Guys partner. If I'm Sub-Zero, he's definitely Scorpion. It's James the Sega-holic. Mate, how are you doing?
I'm very good, mate.
Mate, it's been a while. It's been a while. I know that the content for all our viewers and listeners, it would have seemed like we haven't skipped a beat, but we haven't been behind the microphone for what, 6-8 weeks,
something like that, maybe 6 or 7 weeks. We had tons of stuff in the pipeline, so as you say, viewers and listeners have been completely unaffected, but we've been hectic behind the scenes doing the kind of the shorts, the fights, and the race stuff, some other stuff on top of that as well that's went out, along with, you know, getting the kids ready to get back to school, all the fun, you know, grown-up stuff. But it's good to be back, mate. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. I'd say we're well-rested, but we're not really. I've been camping in the field, and it's been bedlam trying to get the kids ready for school. So this is our break right here.
Aye, this is a respite, mate. It's to say that we're recharged, I think, would be a lie. Is it even to be fair saying that? Was it Andy Mackie that messaged me like about 2 or 3 weeks in after we were putting out stuff? And he's like, I thought you guys were taking a break. And it's like, only from recording, my good man. Only from recording. We're still doing the other stuff while we can. So, but the shorts have went down really well. Obviously, I think was Outrun 2. Did that go out during the break?
Yeah. So at the time of recording, our very last episode that we had in the buffer was my favourite Sega with Videopolis. And sure, in there I say, rip, I've got an upcoming video on Outrun 2. So things have changed since then. We have blown past 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thanks, yep, everyone for subscribing, for watching, for supporting what we do. Absolutely overwhelmed by the response to that video and everything that's come after.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I still remember the morning that we kind of watched that, because it started like any other day. You know, and we didn't do anything different, didn't change the tags, didn't change the day or time we uploaded it. It was just a normal video. And we just kind of watched it start to take off, and slowly but surely it just crept up. And then off the back of that, more people have found the content. More subscribers, you said, I think we're well over 2,000 now, which is just absolutely mad, absolute madness. Just to echo what you said as well, thank you so much to everybody who's, you know, taking the time, not just to subscribe, but, you know, we get the analytics that YouTube send us, and we see that loads of folk are sharing our stuff, so there must be people putting stuff out on YouTube, or, you know, maybe chat groups, we don't know where people are sending it, but there's lots of people sharing the videos as well, liking them, getting involved in the comments. We see some recurring names in there as well. People are coming back. So, you know, that week in our community is just continuing to snowball, and it's great to see. So, aye, brilliant. Thank you very much to everybody. And we are only getting started.
Yes. Yes. I think we had a target of 1,000 subscribers this year. We have doubled that already. And we are absolutely, there are no words to speak for our appreciation for everything, whether you're watching, whether you're subscribing, whether you're sharing, whatever you're doing to support us. Thank you so much. And yes, we're only getting started, mate, because it seems to be fight season. This time of year, three big 30th anniversaries popping up. One is the Street Fighter 2 Special Champion Edition 30th anniversary. We've got a video for that coming up that would have aired before this episode. I'm trying to work it all out in my head. Then we've got the Virtua Fighter 30th anniversary, and we're hoping to get some content ready for that. So if you think about the biggest the biggest fighting games of 1993. You've got Street Fighter 2, you got Virtua Fighter 1. Well, what's the other one? It is, of course, Mortal Kombat! So, mate, it's 30 years since Mortal Monday. Mortal Monday, where this wasn't the anniversary of the arcade game, but the ports of the arcade game that came home. It's crazy that they've actually managed to tie the Mortal Kombat 1. And when I mean the Mortal Kombat 1, I don't mean the 1992 arcade game. I mean the brand new 2023 sort of reboot, sort of tag team fighting game sort of thing, which also now has its own Mortal Kombat shout in reference to Mortal Kombat. Have you seen that advert?
Yeah, Dave Bautista, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I think if you're of a certain age, Mortal Monday is something that you remember, you know, vividly. The hype around Mortal Kombat as well. It's that, you know, because everything that Street Fighter 2 did, it was cartoony. And I think if you look as well, a lot of people at that time were trying to replicate Street Fighter. If you look at stuff on the Amiga, like Body Blows, you know, they were all trying to replicate the kind of form of success of Street Fighter. And Midway cleverly, you know, realised that, no, let's do something a bit different. And they were heavily influenced by the kind of Chinese, Hong Kong style martial arts movies, maybe the kind of the Bruce Lee stuff, like End of the Dragon and stuff like that, the more kind of gory aspect of things. And they went down the kind of real life route, digitizing the fighters. We've all seen the videos of the guys doing their moves, you know, jumping on the trampolines and on the mats and doing all their poses and stuff like that. So, it was just the hype for it. It wasn't Street Fighter 2 level, which was just, you know, crazy, but it still had its own, you know, really, really ferocious following at that time. That was, people just wanted to get their hands on it, mainly because it was gory.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite an interesting topic, actually, how it came to be, because the I think it was, Arcade Attack had an interview with, I think it was actually John Tobias, and Ed Boon has spoken about it. And between them, they both said that they conceived of the idea of Mortal Kombat. Obviously, it didn't have a name then, but they conceived of the idea of a fighting game before Street Fighter 2 rose to prominence. They actually wanted to create a fighting game with Jean-Claude Van Damme as the main character, which would have been cool, but they couldn't get him in, so they just kind of built their own universe. And then Midway were like, we need something to, you know, take on Street Fighter 2. Like, here it is. And then 1992, it launched, and it was an instant and colossal success. Did you manage to play the arcade game in its heyday?
Once, in the foyer of UCI Cinema in Clydebank. it was there. I remember it being in there. And it was, again, a crowd round it. You know, it certainly did draw the crowds in again because of that hype. Never managed to actually get on it or seen it, but watching it was just kind of, it was one of those games that whenever the port came home, again, you watched like your Games Masters and Bad Influences and things, because it was a game you wanted to get a glimpse of. You know, it was like Sonic, like Street Fighter 2. Like, if you turned on one of these shows and the kind of the intro, they said we're going to be looking at Mortal Kombat or Sonic or Street Fighter 2, that was like, today, YouTube, you can watch whatever you want on demand, but we had to wait. Was it Thursday nights that Games Master was on? I think it was. I can't remember, but it was. That was Bad Influence of Thursday after Nightmare. But whatever, it was like any kind of glimpse. Where am I? You in the room.
you know? Treyguard. Hell yeah.
There's a table. Walk over to the table. What's on the table? A potion. Drink the potion or you're dead. It's like, you know. But to get any glimpse of it was just brilliant. Everybody wanted to see it. Everybody wanted to play it. So it was the UCI in Clydebank where I managed to see the arcade version. What about yourself?
Yeah, first time I saw the arcade machine, and this was before any of the ports got announced, was actually in a pub. So there's my original hometown in Boreham Wood, there was a pub, and it must have been called The Crown at the time. It's been back for about five name changes. Until it became The Crown again, but now it's the Sainsbury's. But I remember my dad had taken me. I was in there with my dad. I can't remember if anyone else was in there with my family. My brother might have been. Can't remember why we were in there, but all I remember is that we're in this pub on the corner of the high street, and it was there. Like the machine, there was an arcade machine there now and again, but there was the Mortal Kombat machine was there. And it was one of the big cabinets, and this thing was so loud. But it's like you say, it was in the pub, and there were people just around it. Just watching it, and I did actually manage to have a go. You know, I pleaded with my dad to give me some. He said, "Oh yeah, all right." And so I did actually have a. I was absolutely used to say it because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I don't think I was even playing Street Fighter 2 that much then. But I just saw this machine. I was just like, "Wow, this is absolutely crazy." The characters look like real life.
Aye.
I think there was actually a pit fighter machine there actually at one point. So this was a massive upgrade in terms of the digitized characters.
Jeez, man. I remember that. That's not aged well. I mean, I had that on the Amiga. And whenever I got the EverDrive, I put it back on and I was like, oh my God. This is not how I remember this at all. No,
the ports are not good. I mean, it's another Midway game. So you imagine they use the same digitization or enhanced version of the digitization process. But yeah, I mean, to go from Pit Fighter to that, that's a huge jump in you know, visual fidelity and quality. And Mortal Kombat kind of, it almost had it all. You know, it had an aura about it. It had the sound, it had the visuals. And of course it had all this other stuff that just kept people coming back.
Aye, it's the way they also structured the game as well. It's like, obviously, Street Fighter 2, the big allure at the start was getting to the four bosses.
Yeah.
And then Champion Edition brought in, oh, you can be the bosses. And I was like, oh my God. But Mortal Kombat, again, going down that kind of classic, kind of Bruce Lee, kind of Hong Kong Chinese, you know, martial arts movies. But you get through the original roster, then you get the endurance fights.
Yeah. Endurance fights.
And then if you get through them, you know, you've still got Goro and then Shang Tsung himself. To complete the game it was a monster. You know, they definitely ramped up the difficulty on it. It was just crazy.
Yeah, it's the same amount of matches as Street Fighter 2. You know, 12 matches, you've got your 8. I mean, it's 15, actually. You got your 7 fighters. Oh, no, it is 7 fighters. Your 7th one is your mirror match. Then you've got your 3 endurance matches. And then at the end of the 3rd endurance match, Goro comes jumping on top of you.
That's right.
Straight away. You get no breather. And if you manage to beat him, it's Shang Tsung. And yeah, Goro and Shang Tsung just bastards. I've been playing a recording a bit of footage for the channel, and Goro is just so overpowered. The whole thing where he jumps in the air, you know, you can nail him with a few things and he'll chip his life down, but if he hits you with his double arm punch or his fireball, or if he jumps in your head, he just murders you. And then Shang Tsung can turn into anyone he wants, so it's just
I bet Goro grabs you with his bottom two arms and then batters lumps at you with the top two. You're like, nutcase. Aye.
Oh, well, phenomenal game in the arcade. Why is it important to Sega? Well, two reasons. First of all, Mortal Kombat is one of very few series that have touched every single piece of mainstream Sega hardware. So, obviously, excluding the SG-1000, SC-3000, and the early models didn't get international releases, but had a Master System port of the first three games, had a Game Gear port of the first three games, Mega Drive ports of 1, 2, 3, and Ultimate, Mega CD port of the first game, a 32X port of the second game, the Saturn had 2 Ultimate and Trilogy, and the Dreamcast had Mortal Kombat Gold. So Mortal Kombat, you know, as a series, furnished Sega with a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing as well. It's like, for a game that was meant to come along and kind of challenge Street Fighter, you know, I wonder if, you know, Ed Boon and Tobias, if they'd ever thought that it would quite have the longevity that it's had.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest fighting franchise around at the moment. I mean, I think even Street Fighter 6 has been phenomenal and has really brought a lot of attention back to the series, for fantastically well received. And it's a phenomenal game. But you can tell that it doesn't quite have the budget that Mortal Kombat 11 did and Mortal Kombat 1 will have. It still seems like it's like a double A sort of budget Capcom game.
Aye.
Whereas Mortal Kombat is NetherRealm's big, it's like a triple A fighter.
Aye.
Whether, you know, obviously we'll know in a week's time how well it does. I mean, I think Street Fighter 6 sold 2 million copies. I think Mortal Kombat 11 sold a lot more than that. It will be interesting to see how they balance out. I mean, it's 2023. We're still talking about Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter, right? But yeah, it's a phenomenal success.
Aye, like Mortal Kombat 11, even you look at the roster of the hidden characters, you know, are the ones, not hidden characters, but the ones you can add on with DLC. Because I got that, the full pack at the sale, went to CD Keys actually ages ago. And like, your RoboCop in there, the Terminator's in there, Rambo's in there. And it's like, it's just crazy to see they're bringing like all these characters for different kind of, you know, kind of pop culture movies as well.
Yeah.
Which again, getting back to right about the time whenever Mortal Kombat first came out. So it's kind of going full circle back again.
It's definitely, it knows their audience, is it? It's not bringing in it's not bringing in people that are popular today, but people were popular when we were young. 80s action movies and stuff.
Aye, it's saying that. I've seen Homelanders in MK1.
Yeah, yeah.
For the boys. And it looks brilliant. It's just as Anthony Starr that's there, man. It's just a brilliant character as well. Absolutely superb. I love that show. Can't wait for the new series to come back.
I can't either. The second reason why I think that Mortal Kombat is important for a Sega show is because Mortal Kombat was pretty much synonymous with the Sega Genesis and Mega Drive for reasons that we'll get into.
The controversy, know, the stuff around, you know, that obviously we had Night Trap caused the controversy, you know, and Mortal Kombat was the other game, you know, Howard Lincoln sitting in the, was it what quote it was they were sitting in, but he's, these video games are disgusting and, you know, absolute filth. And I think a lot of that's why there was such an allure around it as well. I think it's why people say, well, some people have the opinion that the Mega Drive Genesis version of Mortal Kombat is inferior to the Super Nintendo version. But the fact that you had all the fatalities, you had all the gore, didn't matter if the SNES version looked a little bit nicer, if it had the arcade energy bars with the names inside the energy bars, if Sub-Zero had his proper stance at that time, it didn't matter because you kind of ripped somebody's head off.
Indeed. So yeah, that's absolutely why I felt that it was appropriate for us to cover Mortal Kombat. So as I said, 30 years since Mortal Monday, 13th of September 1993. As far as I'm aware, it's only the second simultaneous streak date after Sonic Tuesday. I can't think of another one in between the two. No. Obviously, there's not a very... We're talking about 9 months in between the two launches. You kind of get the feeling that they looked at, you know, how do we build some hype for this? Look at what Sega did for Sonic Tuesday with a unified... They didn't manage to do the whole world. I think it was just US regions and some PAL territories. So it wasn't as big as Sonic Tuesday, which, you know, was pretty much worldwide, but still extremely ambitious. And came to six systems, I believe. Mega Drive, Master System, Game Gear, SNES, Game Boy. And I think it came to the Amiga as well.
Yeah, I can't remember if Amiga was Mortal Monday. I remember... Actually, that was one of the rare games that I had in the big box. But I got it after the fact because my first copy of Mortal Kombat was from the Barras after avoiding probably another raid. but I think I've mentioned on here before as well that my copy of Mortal Kombat that I ran on the Amiga, I had a floppy disk that could force the Amiga into 60 hertz.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
So I used to boot that up, put that disc in, it would force it into 60 hertz, then reset back to Workbench, and you could load your games as normal. So like, I think the logo that you got in the Amiga was the hand holding the disc telling you to put, pardon me, to put it in. That was kind of stretched off screen a bit. But whenever the game's loaded, it was brilliant. And I went back and watched like kind of playthroughs of the Amiga game, and it still stands up pretty well for being on. I think it was two discs it was on, you know, and for the limitations of the hardware. Whenever you look at how bad the port of Street Fighter 2 was for, you know, Probe and Acclaim to do such a good job on the Amiga and it only be on two discs and for it to run so well and smoothly and have, you know, a fair amount of speech in it, if I remember, and all the moves. It just it's a very, very good home port considering what we'd seen it try to do with Capcom's equivalent. Shite.
Oh shit. Yes. With the Amiga version of Street Fighter. But yeah, by all accounts, I've not played the Amiga version, but by all accounts, it's a fantastic version. I've seen playthroughs of it, and it's pretty impressive. No Atari ST version. So maybe because they focused on the Amiga version that they were able to optimize it. But
Atari ST.
But enough about STs, Amigas. We're here to talk about the Mega Drive version. But I don't think we can talk about it in isolation, mate, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of comparisons with the SNES. I am not a fan of the SNES version, and it's not just because of the blood. The SNES version definitely looks a lot closer to the arcade for me, but there's definite input lag and slowdown. As people might, there's slowdown in Street Fighter 2 on the SNES as well, but not to the same degree. But there's it. It looks nicer in stills. Looks more arcade accurate in stills.
Yeah, yeah.
In motion, it's even without the blood. I think it's definitely the inferior game.
Aye, you can see, as you said, in stills, it looks great. As I say, Sub-Zero's got his proper stance. The colours look a bit richer. It seems as if the SNES version's got this kind of smear over it. You know, the Mega Drive version, I think, looks quite raw.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite kind of harsh, but kind of oddly suits it. It seems to go with the hardware, whereas the SNES version seems to be kind of putting a smear over it. It's bloody. As I said, the energy bars are identical to the arcade. The names are inside the energy bar. And as we're going to speak about shortly, the Master Linkway mod of the Mega Drive version, yeah, it was actually asked if he was going to do that. And apparently something to do with where the names sit on the screen for the code he was. I can't remember the exact reason, but he said that somebody asked him, are you going to put the names inside the energy bars like the arcade? Because the Mega Drive energy bars are really narrow.
Yeah.
Whereas the arcade and SNES are big, chunky red and green buggers with the names inside. But it's something to do with the way that the game is built, that he's not able to move the names. But the SNES version looks lovely in stills, but it doesn't seem to be. Doesn't seem to move quite as fluidly.
No, you can tell when you're playing it that it's not quite, there's something not quite right with it. So I was playing it recently. I don't actually own it. I played it before on a friend's SNES many, many years ago. But I was playing it on my SNES. What is it? Since it's the EverDrive car that I've got on my SNES. But yeah, and what you're saying about the colours, yeah. SNES games do have richer colour, but then they do look kind of softer, whereas Mega Drive ones, because there's less colours, they do look harsher. And I kind of agree that it suits Mortal Kombat. And I wanted to say that I can apply that same thing for the music as well, because I actually prefer the Mega Drive music to the arcade.
Oh, the Mega Drive's main theme is saying the bass is sensational, yeah, in that.
It's perfection. It's
absolutely brilliant.
Just when it kicks in, it's obviously the instrumentation and the quality in the arcade is obviously better, but the way that it hits on the boot up when you're entering the code, I mean, it's perfect.
Aye, as I say, the bass on it's just a proper bassy. It's like, you can put it on and just be walking about it. Just it's superb, so it is.
It is, and then of course you've got to put the blood code in. So just all It all sounds perfect, doesn't it? Get over here. Now we're entering combat. So yeah, the thing that's the thing that was the big pull for the Mega Drive version was of course the blood code, having the gore and the finish moves the same as the arcade. And it's quite interesting that they obviously censored it first of all completely. And if you don't enter the blood code, you play a completely censored version. But the availability of that blood code was just, I don't know, someone must have leaked it to every member of the press at the time, because everyone knew it.
I remember it going round school as well. it was like wildfire. I still remember, like, Abagabi, get in, write it down for me. I'm going to try it when I get home. It was like, and you've got to wonder, it's like, obviously Sega, were they basically saying, right, okay, yeah, we've released a completely censored version. We're under note, we can't control what the developer does, you know. And it's like, well, it's, I think if Nintendo, if that had been in there, like, is there any kind of code in the SNES version at all?
No code in the SNES version at all.
So Sega have obviously been aware of it and just been quite kind of clever and went, oh, well, we can't control what Probe and Acclaim do, and what, we just let them do their thing. And then, you know, if people want to make the choice to see that content, to see that level of gore, then they've got the ability to do it, you know, which is good as well. You're given kind of choice, you know, to your consumers to let them do what they want. But there's no denying that the gore code in its own was hype as well.
Yeah.
Like, whenever people found out you could do this, it was mind-blowing. I said, I remember it in, like, in school, in secondary school, it was just like, oh, I can't believe you can turn on the blood.
Yeah.
It's got all the moves for the arcade. But it's like, brilliant.
And then it's like finding all the fatalities as well and sharing those out. Everyone, all the fatalities. I've got the Mortal Kombat tips book. I've got. It's like, have you seen that meme? Someone posted it recently. I think it might have been Retro Eggs. It's just the Leonardo DiCaprio Titanic meme where he's showing.
That's right.
It's got the book out and it goes to the book. It's like Mortal Kombat fatalities, isn't it?
I've seen that. Brilliant. The gore code, as I said, was just a hype on top of the hype already. And I remember it was like people were like sharing, like, I think was it somebody goes just towards in heavy punch to, I think, Scorpion's whole block and press up twice.
That one we figured out on our own, and then the others we just couldn't figure out. We had to get the books for it. Yeah, for a while it was like always Scorpion because he had the easiest one to remember, block up.
That's that, you know. But I mean, Sub-Zero was the kind of one I think that everybody was excited to try. Yeah. A decapitation after school. Yeah. It's like,
I mean, if you look at it now, it's pretty tame, isn't it? I mean, he just sort of just goes, like someone's head comes off their neck, that he's off, spine and all.
Aye, I mean, if you compare like the fatalities and like Mortal Kombat 11, it's Jesus Christ, man. It's like, so an episode of CSI whenever you're doing these, it's like X-rays and skulls breaking and people's, who is it that does a move and he gets a sword and he slices their face off?
Sub-Zero.
Aye, and their tongue just flaps a bit, but the tip has been cut off. And like, oh my God. Like, is it the brain just falls out as well?
Yeah, just slides out, doesn't it?
Like, oh my God, man. Like, I'm no squeamish, right? But some of them were like, oh, in the name of God. It's like,
apparently the animators had to have some counselling after that. After animating all of those. I'm not surprised. You're catching out every frame of that in that detail. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier. The big budget games, the detail on them is incredible. You're spending ages sitting there like animating a brain sliding out of someone's sliced off face and their tongue flapping about on the floor.
Just imagine going home for dinner, sitting with the family. Good day at work, not bad. Up to much. Sitting cutting your dinner. Just animated a brain falling out of a skull. It's like...
but yeah, it was a big deal back in the day, obviously.
Oh, so controversial.
As we've seen the whole Sega, you know, suit, the whole thing, obviously led to them creating the age rating system. Unbelievable. But All that aside, did you play the Mega Drive version back in the day?
Nope. Did not. No, my only experience with Mortal Kombat was seeing it in the arcade in the UCI, didn't get to play it, as I said, and then there was the Amiga version. Likewise, Mortal Kombat 2, and that will probably come on to the sequels whenever their time comes round. But
Yeah.
again, it was all Amiga. I didn't get to play the Mega Drive version until like way, way later on. In fact, when did I first play the Mega Drive version? Mate, I'm even going to try and sugarcoat it and lie and kind of make up something to sound like I've played it before. I'm pretty sure whenever I got the EverDrive off you, that's the first time I touched Mortal Kombat in the Mega Drive. Because I cannot remember ever. So I remember playing Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition whenever Sam's cousin Ronnie had brought the Mega Drive 2
Yeah.
over, as I've mentioned before. But that Mortal Kombat, mate, it was my sole experience with that was always Amiga. And well, I did play the Game Gear version, which we'll touch on. I
Yeah.
got that lit. Again, through what everyone wants, like pure dirt cheap and Clyde Bank way after the fact. But aye, in terms of the big proper home computer version, I didn't touch the Mega Drive version until I got that EverDrive.
Quite interesting because Mortal Kombat came out, I think, a month before Street Fighter 2 Special Champion Edition. And I got Street Fighter 2 Special Champion Edition, but I didn't get Mortal Kombat. But a friend got Mortal Kombat. But it did seem like more people had Street Fighter 2 rather than Mortal Kombat. But the official sales figures is that Mortal Kombat sold twice as many units on the Mega Drive. So it's interesting that, yeah, you say about Sam's cousin had Street Fighter 2, but on Mortal Kombat, it was the same for me. But I played it with a friend who'd actually, I think it was his uncle that got it, and he'd borrowed it from his uncle. And then we were playing that version. And he'd only had it for a few days, so then we're trying to do as much as we can, and it couldn't beat Shang Tsung at the end. But yeah, I played it quite a bit over that. That I think it was like a week or so. I was around his house like every day trying to play it. But then I didn't actually get it myself until a few years ago, actually. I played it emulated, but I didn't actually have my own copy until a few years ago. My dad did say to me, my birthday 1993, it's like, what do you want for your birthday? Street Fighter 2. Right, do you want Mortal Kombat for Christmas? No, I don't want Mortal Kombat. Well, would you, all right then. Do you want Sonic Spinball? No, I want Aladdin. So I had the opportunity to get it. I never got around to it until now. But I've got strong memories of, that week playing it around the friends, and I think I played it around someone else's a little later. It was the second game which I was kind of all in on, which came out the next year, and as you say, we'll get onto that later. But yeah. Absolutely loved it. We did figure out some of the cheats in it. There's a dullard cheat. I think you could do like free play, and that's a way to turn the blood on with a hidden like menu. We did manage to fight Reptile once. I can't remember how. But that was quite a good addition. Having him come down, get him randomly appearing and saying,
And the
when,
pet.
yeah. I think you have to get like double flawless victory and all that sort of stuff.
That's right. Aye, that's a double flawless you need to get, and then if you knock your opponent down into the pit, and then you get in there, and then he drops down, he appears, and you get to fight him, and amongst all the kind of severed heads that are down there as well, just.
It's there's loads because it has to be when Santa Claus is going past the moon, I think. You see him on his reindeer and stuff, and it's really obtuse. It's crazy. I think it's like the first hidden character, but yeah, fantastic memories that I have with the original game. And it's still on its own a fantastic port. Obviously, we'll get to the Master Lin Kuei version, I think, towards the end, as we go through these in chronological order. But released the same time, mate, same day, with the Master System and Game Gear ports. I actually played the Master System port yesterday. I played it before, emulated, and it's really decent. It's surprisingly decent. I played Street Fighter 2 on a Master System, and I think that's pretty poor. Other than that, there's no real fighters apart from Masters of Combat, but Mortal Kombat on the Master System, fantastic. And the Game Gear version, I think, is identical, and that's obviously the version that you got back in the day.
Yeah, I've played the Master System version a while back, actually, dug out an old tweet as well that I'd, before I got my capture card, it was like the old phone sitting recording the scene. The thing that always baffled me is the fact that Sub-Zero's got his proper stance in the 8-bit version, but he's not got it. People are going, James, why do you never let that go about Sub-Zero having the roster? Maybe because he's my favourite character, and it really annoyed me that he was standing like that. He's got his proper hand down by the side stance in the 8-bit version. The thing that strikes me, that I've sent you a voice note as well, is the music as well in the 8-bit version. It's just, it's pure frantic.
Yeah.
It was a and then as you start fighting, it was it just gives it this mad kind of,
like, I know.
It's just frantic, but it's the controls are responsive on it. It's got, for what I can see, the majority of the moves that you can easily do, even if it's only on the two buttons, still get, you know, Sub-Zero's freeze, Scorpion's, you know, spear, all the kind of key moves are in there. If I remember, there's only two backgrounds. It's Goro's dungeon and the pit. Yep, that's only two backgrounds it's got. But again, it plays so well. Master System version benefits obviously from having the larger, you know, real estate. But the Game Gear version still holds its own. It's a great report. And again, it's kind of, I don't know if, because it shouldn't have been an easier game to port to all these systems compared to Street Fighter 2, because it's technically superior to Street Fighter 2 and what it's trying to do, but yet they've done such a good job that every format they got it, like, you still got the essence of the game in there. It still felt like you were getting a good experience, whereas, as we've seen with your Street Fighter 2 video, like, not everybody got. It was very, very mixed depending on where you went, what platform you're on. But Mortal Kombat, more or less across the board, especially the Sega systems, they done a bloody good job on it.
Yeah, no, they really did. I think when you're talking about the stance, obviously the memory that they use for the animations of the characters is what is them dumping. They've dumped Kano, isn't it? I think it's Kano. Yeah, Kano's missing. Absent. And so is Reptile. No Reptile in this version. But obviously the two backgrounds, obviously all the other backgrounds are Jess, and so save a memory there. But even that, I think playing it yesterday, I think it plays at probably 30 frames per second. But even that aside, I'm usually quite harsh in games. I'm fighting games at 30 frames per second unless it's Virtua Fighter. But even that, it feels responsive and it just feels right. And there's weight and there's obviously the blood code on it as well.
That's right.
Which is, I think it's 1-2 down, 1-2 something. I can't remember. That's not as memorable as Abacab.
No. But the fact again that they thought to put it in there, you know what I mean? You can still, on your 8-bit handheld, you can have all the gore that you want. You know, it's just they're trying to again bring that as close an experience as they could, even to a handheld or the 8-bit home version.
I know, you can sit on the bus or the train decapitating people in the daytime on your journey to work.
Well, that's the thing, mate. I think if I get a Game Gear back, I might try and scare some commuters in my working at the office days. If I can get one with the proper OLED screen or whatever mod in it.
I was going to say, if you get the OLED screen, at least it'll be able to love my one. Half the time, I can't tell what's happening on it.
I see that. That's the one I had. I got last year that was recapped. When I seen the price of the screens and stuff, I went off. Somebody wanted to buy it, so I let it go. But I think next year I'm going to look at getting one all pre-modded with the screen on that as well. Because that wee EverDrive clone on me that I got from AliExpress, it did the job. You know what I mean? So I just I promise I won't play Sonic Spinball, mate.
If you like it, mate, go ahead. I've said my piece on it. Apologies if you can hear some helicopter flying overhead. It's the summer. I've got the windows open, unfortunately. But anyway, we press on. But yeah, both of those versions are fantastic. I do like the fact that there is a Master System version, but not a NES version. So there's only two Nintendo versions, the Game Boy and the SNES version, but no NES version. I think there was one that was planned, but it kind of got got canned. Made its way to everything but the NES, it seems. But the Master System wins out there with a pretty decent port overall.
I wonder how that would have looked on the NES.
I'm sure a version exists. I'm sure someone out there, whether it's a prototype on the Hidden Palace or whether it's some homebrew that someone's done, or maybe some Chinese knockoff that you get, you ever play that Street Fighter 3 that you can get on the NES?
Oh, whenever you said it must exist, I just said little visions of Nintendo fans turning into Megatron. It must exist. It's only a matter of time.
How do we know Mortal Kombat on the NES still exists?
It must exist. But it probably is out there somewhere, mate. You know, the way so out of saying that, Laurent Combe, the Dreamcast prototype guru, had teased us with that AM2 shot and presented by Sega, and I thought, well, what's he found? Another build of Propeller Arena. I was like, oh, I was getting. I don't know. Yeah. The chance of being something really, really big or slim, right? I was kind of hoping it might have been something major, but hey.
It's really cool. Really cool. Because all the way that everything about it, like the design of the characters, everything is completely different. If it wasn't for the hype, that would have been like, that's a fantastic find. You know, you see the AM2 logo and you hear the music and you think, what's this? Is this some sort of weird Virtual Fighter 4 port?
That is it.
Your mind starts going crazy.
It's a Scud Race.
Oh, mate. But yeah, so that's the 8-bit versions. We'll go back to 16-bit now. To the Mega CD version. Now, I've never actually played this on real hardware. I've only ever played this emulated via Kick of Fusion. But this is Mortal Kombat for the Mega CD. Significantly upgraded on the Mega Drive port, which is quite surprising because so many Mega Drive ports to the Mega CD just have a few added levels, some enhanced sound, but you know, they're basically the same game, like Echo the Dolphin. Been playing that version on the Mega Drive Mini 2, but it's basically exactly the same as the Mega Drive version, but with some really nice CD quality sound. But again, it seems like Probe and Midway really pulled out all the stops for this one and created something that was almost unique, had so many visual enhancements over the Mega Drive. A lot more, but not all of the arcade sound, but a lot more of the arcade sound.
Yeah.
Fully animated profiles and endings and, looks a million bucks, and the FEC had the intro as well. Mortal Kombat.
Aye, and the camera sweeping around the guy in the street shout Mortal Kombat. Yeah. And the crowds all run towards him and stuff like that, and it's kind of fused with what looks like arcade footage as well. Again, you can tell by the energy bars how they look, the kind of the dead giveaway. But I believe I watched a playthrough, so I've no means of playing this, but Sub-Zero's got his stance in there. You know, so.
Does it pass the Sega Holocheck?
But the Chuck Norris of Sub-Zero stances. I've even got the beard now, mate. Thank you, Sega Holic. I mean, aye. But no, it's not got all the sound are still pretty significant sound clips missing. I didn't catch the name of the fighter wins or anything like that. That was still missing, but it's got more speech than the cartridge version. But as I say, whenever we come out to talk about the arcade mod for the Mega Drive, whenever you see what they've managed to fit in there, it's a bit surprising that there wasn't more of the sample speech, especially given the capacity they had for CD.
Yes, it's incredible, really, because you think that, you know, you're going from I think it must have been a 16 megabyte car to a 600 megabyte CD, you know, huge amount of space. I think, and again, I can't comment because I don't actually own it physically, and it's quite an expensive piece of software to pick up these days, as usual.
Really?
I imagine.
Oh, imagine that.
Well, I'd imagine that the audio stored on Redbook rather than, you know, stored it. So, you know, another one you can pop in your CD player, but then I imagine that takes up most of the space on the disc. which is a shame. It's almost there. It's not perfect, obviously, as we said, the missing sounds, speech samples. It is still largely the Mega Drive version. The names are not in the life bars. Yeah. And I think the biggest issue is when you're fighting Shang Tsung, it has to load in every single character change, which is a bit of a frustration when you're fighting him. But still a very, very good port. Came out quite a few months later in 1994. But do you know what, I wouldn't mind picking this one up one day. But yeah, a great port indeed. But that's all the main versions of the ports of Mortal Kombat 1. But then obviously fast forward to, you know, this decade. I think it was 2021 this one came out.
And we have 3 years ago.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat Arcade Edition, courtesy of Master Lin Kuei. What an absolutely phenomenal job he has done on this.
Aye. This was one I followed like really closely, and I came across it by a complete fluke back then. Like, I just seen he'd done regular updates on his channel, and it was kind of obviously like keeping the community up to date and showing new builds, similar to what Mauro's doing with the Final Fight Mega Drive. He's always releasing kind of demos for patrons, and that's the thing as well. See, if you want to get access to that demo, nobody can get off a wee slight tangent here, but Mauro does regular demos on his Patreon. He only asks for a minimum of a quid a month, and you can get access to the demos, you know what I mean, and they load on your EverDrive and it's great. But I similar idea to that Master Lin Kuei had been putting out regular videos showing the updates, and the level of progression on it, every video he seemed to be adding something else. Like, it's not just, you know, like fixing Sub-Zero stance, it's not just adding like a lot of like every bit of speech you can think of is in there. You get like the Sub-Zero wins, flawless victory, fatality, you get everything.
Yeah.
You know, all the speeches in there, the music is cleaned up, the backgrounds, he's tweaked the kind of colours, just added wee extra animations that aren't there. Like whenever you fight on the first stage, usually against Sonya, with the monks, and Shang Tsung sits there and eventually he claps.
Yeah.
The monks all clap as well, their heads follow. Fighting, it's like this is all on a stock, like
Mega Drive
that's doing this. And again, it kind of does show the capability of the hardware, that it really was the size of the cartridge that was constraining developers back then, because what he's managed to fit in to that is absolutely insane. As I say, he's changed so much, backgrounds, better colors, the palettes on the fighters as well, just. There's so much stuff that he's added, you know. And if you've got an EverDrive, you know, by all means, pick it up. If you wanted to own a physical copy for your collection, of course, someone on Etsy has made a box and a cartridge, a proper cartridge with it on it. Just realised I've fixed my headphones and I'm sitting here, what is this? People are going to be going, what has he done to his hair, man?
we're thinking about that meal all the time.
It's so good. If you haven't played it, you really have to. And I think if you're someone who is a big Mortal Kombat fan on a Mega Drive or Genesis, and you've never played this, and you maybe play the original quite frequently and go back to it, if you check this arcade version out, he's even the loading screen that comes up is like a digitized version of the arcade poster. And it's got the fighters coming out of the cabinet, grabbing the boy, and it says, so real it hurts. You know, and it's such a good mod. Again, just testament to the work that these guys do. And Mauro and Master Lin Kuei and all these guys, they all know each other. They all collaborate. So I definitely check it out.
Yeah, no, it's an absolutely fantastic update to get it so close to the arcade machine. The arcade cabinet was on pretty much brand new technology at the time. You know, the Mega Drive would have been 4 years old, about 5 years old in 1993 by the time the port came to it. The fact that it's able to come so close is just a testament to what Master Lin Kuei has done. But I remember the part that, obviously, you know, seeing the additional stances, hearing the sounds was one thing, because there's almost no announcer in the first game. Mm-hmm. There's certainly no flawless victory, fatality.
Yeah,
you know, it's all just the da 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 da
But I'm trying to think as well, is Test Your Might in the stock version?
Is it, no, is it, I don't no? think it is, no.
Because you get a Test Your Might, and it's not obviously, you know, but like every bit of speech you can think. But even like he's even added like screams, like yeah. Silver Sub-Zero does his decapitation. Like in the stock version, you don't get the scream.
Yeah.
But his victim screams as the head comes off.
It makes it a bit more visceral, doesn't it? Rather than him just kind of lifting their head off.
Aye.
It's taking a vase off the mental piece.
it's quite kind of guttural.
Yeah.
You know, and he's even added on, you know, the female scream for whenever you do it to Sonya as yeah. well. It's like, he's like, spared no expense, as John Hammond said, you know, it's like...
You get the screams when they go down into the pit as well, I think.
That's right, aye.
Yeah.
It's just he's went through it so painstakingly, you know, and tried to get... I mean, the fact that he's put on there the So Real It Hurts kind of promo image, it just goes to show that he really has painstakingly went through it and just added as much of the arcade stuff as he could in there. It's absolutely brilliant.
It just shows goes to show that it's an absolute labour of love.
Definitely.
And... Yeah, the thing that won me over was when you're in the throne room and when Shang Tsung was changing, moving his head to watch the fight.
Aye.
I was just, oh, wow.
And even for that to impress us, you know, all these years on, it just goes to show that because we came from an era where all we had was the ports and also you had the Mega Drive one, I had the Amiga one, and they were stripped back because they had to be at that point. But to see, as you say, for Master Linkway to put this labour of love together and to actually add in these wee things, it's like, you know, you actually, every time you were playing it, you would notice more and more as well. So, it's brilliant. If you've not checked it out, I mean, I'll quite happily put links to his channel and his Twitter and stuff in the description and people can check it out.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's got the same soundtrack as the original Mega Drive port, which is phenomenal. But what I didn't realise, and know what Sega Lord X alerted me to in a recent video, is that if you've got a Mega SD or a Mega Everdrive Pro, you can now, using the FPGA decoder in there, which allows you to emulate Mega CD games, you can add CD music onto a lot of games. He's got a video that's just came out at the time of recording. I think it was in the last week. It might be his latest video, where you enhance the Mega Drive game sound. So it's got all arcade soundtracks to Turtles. It's got remix soundtracks to like Streets of Rage and Golden Axe. And it's got the original arcade soundtrack to Mortal Kombat. So you find this patched ROM, which is it's a huge ROM size, but it goes on to your Everdrive Pro or Mega SD or your emulator. For me, it would be the emulator. I've only got an X5. Everdrive, hasn't got that technology in it. And, you know, these cards are £200-£250. They're quite expensive. But if you do have one of those cards and you want the closest Mega Drive port possible, you can add the original arcade soundtrack on via kind of CD audio quality. And it's pretty much there. Looking at the video, it's absolutely outstanding. And yes, you can just kind of go into MAME and you can emulate.
I was going to say, there'll be people going, if you're going to go through that much hassle, why don't you just play the arcade game? You know, but that would just take the fun out of it, because that's what we, on here, we love the fact that there's so many talented people. See that? Just play the arcade game, just emulate the arcade game. That's boring. Like, where's the fun in that? You know, let's celebrate these people who are putting the hours in through nothing but passion, you know, to make the port on, you know, a home console is close to the arcade, because at the end of the day, back then, that was always the thing, you know, flung around the term, is it arcade perfect?
Yeah.
You know, so there's people trying their best to do that using the technology available to them. So I think it's only right that, no, let's not just play the arcade version. Let's see what these guys are working on.
Yeah, me and you are the same thought, I think, mate, because, you know, yes, you can play it on Xbox 360 via the collection, which is still available. At the time, the Xbox store is due to close sometime next year, but for now it's still available. But the Xbox 360 has a gargantuan amount of processing power to play that game. So does the PC if you're playing it on MAME. You know, it's like trying to score a penalty within an open goal. In fact, trying to score a goal from the 6 yard line, no goalie in there. You know, it's easy. This is why I still play the older versions of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat on Mega Drive for the same reasons. I love going and seeing it how it gets squeezed onto technology which wasn't designed for it, but ultimately delivers an experience which is fantastic. And that's part of the allure. And yes, you're augmenting an existing game with the work that someone has done with kind of modern game development techniques and modern technology, but it still has to play on that original system. And even if you do use an EverDrive Pro or a Mega SD to bring that soundtrack in, the core game is still playing on a stock Mega Drive. And exactly. that kind of, and you know, this is hardware which was developed back in 1988. Mortal Kombat came out in 1992 on fresh technology. So it's an absolute, you know, testament to the hardware itself and, you know, the original porting team that did a fantastic job. And of course, Master Lin Kuei with an expert remastering to bring it, you know, to make it the best version of Mortal Kombat can be. So yeah, mate, as you say, if anyone's not played that, they absolutely have to check it out.
Aye. And just as you mentioned there, the Xbox 360 version, I've got the Combat Collection. And there will have been footage from that version playing at some point during this video anyway. So, but that adds on, like, you know, things like the arcade filter. You can, you know, change the screen. You can put scan lines and kind of CRT glow effects and stuff like that on there. Change the most disappointing thing was a cabinet setting. I thought they would have done a bit more with the surround the way Final Fight Double Impact did. Yeah. Which is phenomenal. Similar idea to what Capcom did with the Street Fighter stuff that you were using as well. But it still looks great. As you say, like 360 can do Mortal Kombat standing on its head without even powering on. Probably it's like running on standby mode. It could probably run Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean? So it's no challenge there.
Well, mate, that brings us to the end of all the versions of Mortal Kombat 1 on Sega systems. But another day, another anniversary, mate. 30 years since Mortal Monday, 30 years since these ports manifested, 30 years since we had all of that hype. What's that big banner? There was that huge poster, Street Fighting's for Losers. You know, it seems like only yesterday that they were doing that, and yet 30 years later, the two games are still locking horns.
It's similar as well. Whenever, like, you walk around, like maybe like toy shops, like your nephew or your niece or whatever, your son or daughter, and it's still the same toys that we played with. You know what I mean? Like, Turtles has never went away. Thundercats came back. Transformers is like bigger than it ever was. You know, I'm envious of today's kids, mate, because I sent you that link, total tangent here, but that Galvatron figure.
Yeah.
Galvatron we got was a tree with an orange cone.
And no articulation.
And I just look and I think it's amazing to think that these franchises, they made such an impact, whether it's movies, cartoons, toys, or in this case, video games, that they just won't go away. You know, as you said, mate, 30 years on, we're still talking about Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time and tell the early kind of teenage versions of ourselves that, we would probably laugh, you know. But there it is. We're still as popular as ever.
There it is, mate. You know, in 30 years' time, will people still be remastering the original Mortal Kombat? Possibly. Will they be remastering Starfield? Who knows? But time will tell. But mate, it's been an absolute blast as always. It's been fantastic to get back behind the mic and back indeed on the Contract Game train again. And so viewers, listeners, hope you've enjoyed. Thanks for staying with us until the end. If you've enjoyed us, if you've enjoyed the show and enjoy what we do, please like, comment, subscribe. Give us a follow on X. Let's just call it Twitter. Give us a follow on Twitter. You can catch me at Swooper_D. You can catch James the Segaholic at the Segaholic. You can catch the account at Sega Guys. Until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
In a while, hold on.
Over here! Sega!